Dermot and Dave.
Mind yourself now. Mind yourself now.
Mind yourself now.
Mind yourself now.
On Today FM.
So, as there are some symptoms you could have that could be pointing towards anxiety, and maybe it's a condition that you have and didn't even know it. Here to discuss it is Fiona Brennan. She's our regular clinical hypnotherapist and best-selling author of The Positive Habit from Gill Books. Morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Dermot. How are you?
I'm very well. Looking at the physicality of anxiety, what do you mean by that?
When we think of anxiety, we think of the negative thoughts that can spiral us into that really, you know, unfortunate space and feeling of fear. However, what we've got to remember is just how this works on a neurobiological level. And when we know that, we're in such a stronger position to actually start to, first of all, understand it, understand that it is an evolutionary part of being human, and that sometimes our bodies will sort of react in ways that we don't understand. You know, it could be a football match with lots of people. It could be a supermarket. These are places where people tend to start to feel panic and stress. And a lot of people, when they have their first panic attack, they actually do believe that they're dying. Mm. They don't know that it's anxiety or fear, but they have a genuine, you know, belief that they're physically in a dire place where they could die.
Because it's such an alien experience. You're not used to this in what seems like a potentially non-threatening environment or whatever.
Exactly, that is it, Dave. It is 100%. It's where the body starts to see fear and overreact to threats that are in fact not threats, but on a subconscious neurobiological level, they really, really are. Mm.
They can also be, these physical symptoms could also be good indicators that you are experiencing stress or potentially chronic stress, but you're unaware. Certainly my own experience, if I had had this kind of guidance 10 or 15 years ago, or even before that,
yeah,
I would have seen that my body was actually telling me things,
yeah, absolutely,
that I wasn't aware of. And it was only until much later in my life I realized, wow, I actually was suffering from stress and anxiety for a long period, but was completely unaware. And it was only when a panic attack raised its head and
exactly,
I thought I was dying.
Yeah, and I've heard you talk about that. And
yeah,
it's exactly what I'm saying. It's that sense of where the body now has to really get your attention, so it'll go as far as a panic attack.
So, okay,
whereas all the signs have been there before.
Can you tell us then what the symptoms are? So, as Dermot said, for people who maybe have never suffered a panic or an anxiety attack, what kind of things can happen?
Well, let's say the warning signs that you're talking about there, Dermot, would be a tightness in the chest, a pounding heart, shallow breathing, struggling to get breath, you know, that's sort of difficult to get air, dry mouth, sweating, blushing is another one that a lot of people don't necessarily think, but it is, because it's that social anxiety, constricted throat, headaches, dizziness, shaking or trembling, muscle tension is a big one, IBS symptoms, you know, digestive issues, and then a really unfortunate one, which is insomnia, where people are waking up in night sweats. Mm. So all of those are something, you know, that we've all experienced at certain points in our lives.
And some of them are obviously quite extreme, you know, like waking up in the middle of the night and sweating is probably at the extreme side of it, or a constricted throat. But certainly something that I noticed myself, and something that a lot of people say to me and send me messages and stuff online, is the dizziness one. And it's more of a subtle one. And for me now, it's definitely one of my indicators where I go, oh, okay, I think I need to, you know, take a bit more rest and back off stuff and have a look at how much work I'm doing.
Sure.
Because dizziness, it's such a little subtle one, and you think maybe I have a bit of a cold, or maybe that's it. Or
It's that kind of almost like that the life is happening outside of you, and you can feel very sort of not steady on your feet.
Yeah. Or if you've ever had a jet lag.
For me, it's a bit like that.
A bit jet lag symptoms, where sometimes you feel like the floor gives a little bit of a wobble beneath you, and you're like, ooh, this is a bit weird.
Absolutely,
But you're obviously not jet lagged.
Yes, but it is that horrible feeling, exactly. Or hungover is another one that, and you haven't had anything to drink, which is, you know, double.
Which is just unfair.
Quite.
Yeah. Why is anxiety so physical then? Where does it come from?
Well, okay, so that's a good question, Dave. And the reason for it is twofold. So we've got the evolutionary perspective of it, where we are, you know, primed to be on our alert. And that is the whole fight or flight situation, which I'm sure you've heard many times. And the second one is a more subjective one, where there might be a past trauma for a person that maybe did happen in a supermarket, or, you know, that they've were bullied at school, and then they're triggered into feeling, you know, anxiety in the workplace when they're in a meeting or having to do a presentation. So it works on both those levels. What's really interesting, what I really want to talk about today, is the polyvagal theory. And this is where we start to move away from the problem and into the solution, because I do believe how important it is to look at what can we do on a practical level to start to really help ourselves. So polyvagal theory was developed by Dr. Stephen Porges. And what we know about the vagus nerve is the longest nerve in our neurobiological system, from the bottom of our brain, the top of our spine, and it runs all the way down into our gut. So it's our longest nerve. And so when we talk about that gut feeling, it's actually not just woo, you know, it is scientifically proven that we will feel, there's a message going right down to the gut from the brain saying, you know, this doesn't feel right, for example. And what Dr. Stephen Porges discovered was that we knew for a long time how the vagus nerve acts as a calmness lever. So when you know how to activate that through the breath, through breathing in deep and exhaling out, the longer and slower the exhale is, the better. That's one of the most sort of simple and most powerful ways to access the vagus nerve. Singing, social connection.
Singing, I love that idea that, like, if you're a bit anxious about, you know, giving a talk in work or something like that, and you're standing in front of everyone, just go, just one sec, guys. Hello, everybody. I feel so good. Okay, no, so
hello, everybody. I love that song.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you see, and the laughter there starts to help as well, because people might laugh when you sing.
Certainly when I
do. Maybe Dave. I don't know. But what's really interesting here is that we know about fight or flight state, but there's a third state after that, and that is probably what you've heard is frozen state, where you just literally, you know, you shut down, your system shuts down. Mm. And what that is, and it works very well for, in terms of a reptile maybe, is that it's like playing dead. Mm. However, that doesn't actually work for us human beings, where we, you know, it's quite obvious that we're not dead. So it's a, I think, a really important thing for people to know who have felt so anxious that they've shut down and been unable to respond, that it's not their fault. It's actually the survival system kicking in. So keeping it on the positive in terms of how we can actually use it, I think that those things are very effective in terms of knowing that you have a nerve in your body, that it's like a calmness lever, and just knowing that you can activate that by, like you said, Dermot, by listening to those warning signs before they do develop into a full panic attack, and just being very closely connected to your body.
I think it's important too for people, isn't it, that we don't just do sort of firefighting, you know, that if we can build in breathing exercises or, you know, yoga or whatever it is that suits your way of life or your interest levels, like if we can establish some kind of a practice for the times when we're not necessarily stressed out, that's where we start to build the resilience, and we're not just waiting until, you know, we have extreme symptoms before we start introducing breathing techniques or things like that.
Absolutely, Dermot. I mean, that is what it's all about. It's like a resource. It's like you have money in the bank. You have this access that you can, you know, use, not just when, as you say, it's last, you know, resort, but that it's there as a continual sort of supply.
Well, to take the physical analogy, I think a lot of people are used to the idea of working with their bodies, you know, in a gym sense or a fitness sense or going for runs or whatever. But, you know, if you were, and just to kind of take that firefighting analogy, like if you were going to do a 10K run or your first half marathon, you wouldn't just start to exercise the day before because you know it's right on top of you.
Exactly.
You would hopefully put in some kind of a training program and do stuff on a regular basis so that by the time the big event happens, that you're ready for it.
Absolutely. It's the
so
same
to do
principle.
It with our own brains. You know, and our own guts kind of makes more sense, doesn't it?
It does, Dermot. And I think habit, you know, I talk about habit a lot. And so it comes back to tying in that connection to the body as a daily routine. For example, I think a really good question to ask yourself at any point during the day is, am I holding on to any unnecessary tension?
And if we realize we are, what do we do?
Well, to be honest, Dermot, most of the time you realize that, yes, you are. Yeah. We all are. There's so much unnecessary tension that we hold in our body. So breathe into it. Just soften into it. Like, just soften back into the chair. Feel your feet on the ground. Take a deep breath and just let it go.
Fiona Brennan, clinical hypnotherapist and best-selling author of The Positive Habit. Thank you so much for dropping in for Mind Yourself Now again.
Thank you, Dermot.